Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is Commodity Week, the March 9 edition.
Support for Commodity Week comes from Agrigold Hybrids, featuring the Agrigold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgrigoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
I am University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Commodity Week, of course, a production of Illinois Public Media, public radio for the farming world. Visit us online at WILLAG.org. The United States Department of Agriculture yesterday morning on Friday released the latest WASDE numbers. That's the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. It updated none of the numbers in the balance sheets for either corn or soybeans. We won't talk about them at all this morning. That's a good thing, in part because this program is a special edition recorded on Tuesday at our all-day agricultural outlook meeting. We'll bring to you today a portion of our corn panel. It was an excellent program. On the panel with us was Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, Jackie Bakes with Stuart Peterson from Champaign, Illinois, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services from Oakland, Illinois. But first, here's the way the figures finished up from Chicago for the week. From the soft red winter wheat pit, March contract this week had a high of $6.73, a low at $6.30. The settlement price was down 32 at 638 and three quarters. July at 645, settled 32 and three quarters cents, Friday to Friday lower. March contract in the corn pit, $6.71 for the high on the week, the low at 639 and a quarter. Remember, we give you the open outcry, electronic, and overnight and day trade. All is one. $6.54 was the settlement price for the corn, down 5 cents Friday to Friday. And December futures at $5.62.5, down 7.5 cents. March soybeans this week topped at $13.49.5, bottom at $13.10. Settlement price there at $13.31.75, up 3.5 cents. In November at $13.05.25, up 7.25. April live cattle, 130.25, the high, the low at 125.15. Settlement price, $3.92.5 lower at $126.25 for 100 pounds. The March feeders at $153.92.5 are down $4.17.5. And April lean hogs this week settled $87.82.5. Friday to Friday, $2.60 lower. Now, here's a portion of the corn panel from our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting recorded on Tuesday of this past week. And start with Paul Cooley. We ask him about the 300 million bushels or so that have been coming in and out of the balance sheets for more than a year and a half.
First of all, I want to thank WILL for having this annual meeting. And we have a carryover on the last USDA report of 801 million bushels. This is 327 million bushels under last year's production carryover. And we saw the corn basis just absolutely explode last year. And this year we're seeing an inverse carry in the market. And I didn't hear the cash grain panel talk about that, you know, this inverse carry with the March futures. And it was well publicized that the carryover in corn was going to be extremely tight this year. And my hunch is, with the corn yields that I heard about from my customers, the government probably has the yield per acre pretty well right, and the think tank people that I have the most confidence in thinks that the corn usage is going to be drop with ethanol about 50 million, and the corn exports up 50, And I think the corn stalks are going to be within 25 million bushels, probably less than the USDA's numbers. The 350 million bushels, I'm going to take the Darryl Good approach. I think they just disappeared in thin air.
The 350 million. Pete?
You have to remember, a government report's just like a fence post. Once it's set, we deviate off of it. And if you got in trouble, like when I was a kid, when you got in trouble, Dad moved you, made you move the fence post over 3 feet, quarter mile. I mean, so fence posts get moved by the government every report. And it's a new place for us and the rest of the world to deviate off of. The numbers that they talked about, they're all over the place. I mean, you got estimates here, estimates there. And I don't know if any of those people know any more about it than you do. I'm still of the opinion that we didn't have piles this year. You didn't have to wait in long lines, so we don't have as much corn as they said we did. I don't know if that'll come to be or not. I'm also of the opinion that where did 300 million in feeding go? So those are estimates from bean counters somewhere, and I don't know that they know how to count beans, let alone corn.
Jackie?
Let alone corn, huh? I don't know. I guess when I look at the USDA reports, one of the things that we seem to miss, and Pete brought it up a little bit, is that every report has a deviation on it. We heard a lot of talk about 164 bushel to the acre trend line yield. At this time of year, the deviation is about 10%. In other words, it could be 16 bushel higher or 16 bushel lower. And when you look at the 350 million bushels, one of the things that we know about corn, because nobody who feeds corn is going to give numbers to the USDA, that the feed and usage and residual is kind of like a miscellaneous category in your accounting. In other words, you can push it one way or the other. And I think what happened with the USDA is they got themselves caught between a rock and a hard place, because we've had issues as far as production goes. And, you know, you can push it one way, hoping that the next year it's going to get better. And then when the next year it doesn't get better, all of a sudden you find yourself up against a wall. And I think that's kind of where they are right now. It's hard to justify the numbers when you look at how many cattle we're feeding. We don't have a distiller's report, so we don't have good numbers there. And so it just makes it tough, you know, as far as how many times is 350 million going to come back and bite us? The next time that we start to harvest too early, and they don't count that.
Dan Zwicker.
This whole thing kind of started a couple years ago when we had the early harvest.
Right.
And there's a big discrepancy basically on September 1 stocks, whether it was old corn or new corn or both. But I generally think the trade really hasn't recognized that our pipeline is much larger than what the government and what trade wants to talk about. I think the pipeline is closer to monthly usage, and usage is $1.1 billion roughly. And you do bring in some August corn from the south that maybe is 200 million bushels or so. So I think when USDA puts a carryout estimate under 900 million bushels, they're basically telling you that we're in a rationing mode. And that's what happened last year. They kept using a 700 number, or I forget exactly what it was. And I think last year I talked about it here, that I didn't think the carryout could go much under 900 billion bushels. And at the end of the day, where did we end up at?
Last year?
Mm-hmm. About 1-1 or something like that. So I think until the trade recognizes that the pipeline and what's caused that larger pipeline is all of these ethanol plants, they can't count the trucks and the trains that have corn in transit going to feeding all these ethanol plants. And I think in some instances we could be using it faster than USDA can count it. So I think that's where a lot of the discrepancy is. And therefore, when I think you look at this year's balance sheet, what do they got carry out at 800 million bushels? I think that tells you that we're in a rationing mode until We see if we get an early planting and how much grain we can pull into this crop year.
Okay. If 1-1 is pipeline, what's the price for corn at 1.1 billion bushels on carryout? If that's what we have left, right?
Well,
you want a month's supply at the end of the year. Is that correct?
For the most part, you could go about 200 million less than that, 900 probably.
So 900 million. So at 900 million, are we at 520?
That all depends probably what new crop prospects are at the time at the end of the marketing year.
Under normal conditions, if everything is normal, who knows what normal is, but I'm trying to get to a normal. 510, 520?
I don't know if you can say that. All I'm saying is that pipeline is larger than what the trade wants to recognize, and until the trade recognizes that pipeline is around 900 million bushels, the market is in a rationing mode. We are in a rationing mode right now. I mean, the basis levels being this strong through the fall, through the winter, and that has bled all the way into the Western Corn Belt, that we're in a rationing mode.
Everybody agrees we're in a rationing mode, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you look at usage the last couple of years, it's right at 13 billion. If you look 20 years ago, it was 7 billion. So that's what he's talking about. The industry doesn't realize the pipe's bigger.
Right. So the industry wants 1.1 billion bushels every month, regardless, and then you can do the multiplication out and you get what?
Todd, I don't know which of our great panel members mentioned this, but maybe it was my friend Dan here that said the government's going to be very reluctant to push that number much below 800 million.
Yeah, I don't see how they can. Yeah. I think even 800 million tells you you're in a quasi-rationing mode, really. So if there's adjustments to be done on supply, I do agree with Paul is that the ethanol industry is probably the grind is probably a little high there. You could probably see some downward adjustments in the grind. I'm unclear about feed usage. Feed usage just looks too small to me compared to last year and compared to 2 to 3 years ago. Now, there is no doubt about it. The poultry industry has been feeding a lot of wheat, but I'm not sure it's been enough to drop overall feed usage 200 million from a year ago.
The reports that are coming up, you don't think USDA will drop below 800 million then?
If they do, I think if they do, it just tells you that you're in a deeper rationing mode.
Well, I was just going to say one of the things that I think the trade also doesn't recognize or isn't thinking about is that when you look at the world days of supply for corn, we're down to 52.6 days. And that's not even 60 days beyond September 1st. That's a critical situation. It's a situation, it's the lowest, and they have the lowest stocks-to-use ratio at the world level that we've had since 81.
We're all equal here. We're all thinking we're in a rationing mode, at least for this year.
Mm-hmm.
Then we come to the big numbers that the Ag Forum gave us, the 94 million acres that we talked about earlier. The 164 bushels to the acre. Are those right, in your opinion? And how, if they are, how do they change the landscape? Paul?
He was looking at you, Pete.
I was going, okay.
Pete's really the bad boy. He ought to answer that. Nah. But I'll go. I can't.
No, Pete, go on, Pete.
164 is too high, period.
All right.
Where are we going to get the corn at? Somebody mentioned CPR acres, the Dakotas. What's that grain and what's the land in the Dakotas or CPR going to make on corn? Put that in with your average, it'll be our average less than last year. And what was it last year? But before you were talking about that, carryover with the 800 million, 6.3% of usage. If you go to 1.7 billion, it's 13%, which is still at the low end of the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And we're using more of everything. And usage is going to continue to be good, except for a little less ethanol.
The 164, Todd, I'm going to be a little bit on the other side of the equation. I think it can be done. And the seed corn companies have made tremendous progress. We've put a lot of drainage tile in the ground. We're hearing about this multiple applications of nitrogen, and it's the best game in town to plant corn for profitability in the corn and soybean belt, you know, the real cash grain areas of the Midwest. So I think it's, you know, the opportunity is there, and I wouldn't even be a bit surprised at some point in time we're going to hit the ball way out of that ballpark, and that's what I think the USDA is looking at.
I think 94 is too low.
We'll have more from the corn panel at the WILL All Day Ag Outlook meeting from last Tuesday in just a couple of minutes when we return. Our guests on the panel include Paul Cooley of AD Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, Stuart Peterson's Jackie Vakes, and from ADM Grain Group, Dan Zwicker.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or 800-262-7333.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. The mild weather continues in March. The statewide average temperature for the month was 41.5 degrees. That's 4.5 degrees above normal. The statewide average precipitation for the month so far was 0.6 inches. That's 76% of normal. Bare soil temperatures at 4 inches range from 40 degrees in northern Illinois to the mid-40s in central Illinois to the upper 40s down into southern Illinois. If you Google Illinois soil temperatures, you will get the Water Survey's webpage that contains the latest soil temperatures. Above normal temperatures will return to Illinois on Saturday with highs in the mid-50s and the lows in the upper 30s or lower 40s. On Sunday, we can expect highs in the mid to upper 50s and lows in the mid to upper 40s. It's expected to be even warmer on Monday with highs in the 60s and into the 70s on Tuesday. There's about a 50 to 60% chance of rain on Sunday and Sunday night. Potential rainfall totals range from 2 inches in southern Illinois to 1 inch in central Illinois and 1/2 of an inch in northern Illinois. The latest National Weather Service outlook for March shows a very strong chance of above normal temperatures and moderate chances of above normal precipitation across the state. I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
This is WILL Station Manager Bob Culkeen. I had the pleasure of attending my first all-day Ag Outlook this past week. It was an awesome event, and I met some truly outstanding people. I am taking this opportunity to thank our sponsors, vendors, the Beef House, and the great people of the agricultural community who day in and day out support the agricultural programming on your station, WILL. Keep listening and supporting. Thank you.
This is the March 9 edition of Commodity Week. We're listening to a portion of our corn panel from the All-Day Agricultural Outlook meeting that WILLAG.org hosted at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana on Tuesday, the 6th day of March in the past week. If you'd like to hear all of the panel or all of the day-long events, you can do that at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Now let's join our panel in progress again. Our guest up on stage with us, Jackie Vakes, Paul Cooley, Pete Manhart, and Dan Zwicker.
The corn-soybean ratio hit a five-year low here during the fall and winter months, which is puts corn the most profitable in a five-year cycle over beans. And in the past, you have seen significant jumps in corn acres when the corn-soybean ratio is that low. And I've been to the end of the world this winter. If I'd made one more step, I would have fell off of it. And
That's a long way away, Dan.
I can assure you the intentions to plant corn are big. So I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see something in excess of 95 reported. I think upwards of 75% of the nitrogen is on. And unfortunately, very few farmers have anything sold. on new crop. So they're kind of hung at the moment. But that doesn't necessarily mean I'm bearish corn. I think we're early in a five-year cycle. I think we can go back and look at 2000 as a five-year cycle low. We can look at 2005 as a cycle low. And I think the June low that we had in 2010 was a five-year cycle low. So we're roughly 20 months into a five-year cycle that I think you could probably go up 30 months in. So I still think 12 can end up being a much stronger year than what a lot of people think. I am not in the $4 camp for fall corn. I know there's a lot of people that would like to see corn go to $4, but I'm not in that camp yet.
Okay, so a couple of things. Cycle bottoms usually come right pretty accurately. If you're on the five-year cycle, Dan taught me this years ago. Five-year cycle, so 05, 10, 15.
Yeah, but so the next one is not due to 15. So I think we got a couple years to go yet before we get things real bearish in agriculture.
But you also taught me that the tops tend to move within that five-year cycle. So you're of the opinion that this top is actually going to be pretty close to the center?
Well, that's where you start, and then you kind of judge your weather events and the fundamentals from you know, week by week or whatever. But, yeah, I'm convinced that this thing, when I look at the monthly chart, I think we have one more leg up in it. The 2008 leg, 2011 leg, and I think we got either a late 12 or 13 leg up. And then we go into a two-year decline.
Okay. And I'll let the rest of you come back in here in a moment, but I need to follow up in with him just for a second, because if this is truly the case, and you didn't give us a yield, but if we're at 95 million and say Cooley's right, and USDA is right. Cooley and USDA together, that's kind of tough. Cooley and USDA are right together at 164. That'll give us a really enormous crop, and you must think that there's going to be really enormous demand. Is that right?
We haven't got it grown, have we?
Oh, okay. All right.
That's right. I said intentions. That's right. Intentions and actuals and harvested are all different.
Supply in the or the demand side in 2012-13 for the new crop. Do you see it staying strong, and what are the pitfalls?
Oh, I think that the opportunity for demand to be very strong is certainly there. Even when we saw the USDA come out with the 94 million acres, they raised the crop production by 2 billion bushels and actually only raised the carryout by 800 million. So they ate up 1.2 billion in demand. I'm in Dan's camp. I really think we could be at 95 or above for this year, especially knowing that last year we actually had 96 million planting intentions. I don't think a lot of people remember that or even realize that. The floods and the flood on the Missouri River took a lot of acres out. And so I think that the intentions are certainly going to be there to do that. Weather's going to dictate what happens. But when you look at demand, what are the pitfalls? If the U.S. dollar, for some reason, would begin to climb, that's certainly not going to make it a good situation for us to be able to move more grain. I think that the Iran situation that was talked about a little bit this morning is much more serious than what a lot of people are giving it. They're just not giving it enough attention. If we start to break down and we start making dividing lines between countries, as far as supporting Iran or doing anything like that. Just to give you somewhat of an idea, you know, right now crude oil in the whole world is priced in U.S. dollars. And as soon as the tension with Iran started, China and India both went to Iran and asked if they could pay for crude oil and gold rather than in U.S. dollars. And so I think that whatever happens over there politically could have a very negative impact on us. We know traders trade based on perception, not necessarily reality. It's always perception. And when you think about that, the perception would not be good if that's what happened. And so I think we're going to continue to see China come in and be a buyer. If they need crop really bad, they'll buy it anyway. It won't make a difference. But at the same time, I think that the outside political forces that we have going on are the political issues in the outside market. This market is much, much bigger than the United States. And so you can't not manage your risk because of the fact that you don't know tomorrow what kind of news you're going to wake up to.
Pete, let's wrap it up. We're going to start with you. We haven't really asked them too much about what they think price is like and whether you should be selling old and or new crop corn at this point. So that's where we're going to go, old and new crop corn sales.
I had a guy this week called me. He said they're paying 28 over on old crop corn. He unloaded every bushel he had. If corn price was 650 something, he was going to get close to 690. I'd be unloading every old crop I had. New crop, I would be looking at buying 550, 560 puts, maybe selling a 7 or a 680 call against it, and waiting to see if we can't get another 20 cents higher in the next 10 days.
Okay. On old crop corn, it just depends upon where you're at. In most cases, I'd have to say that if you can get even to plus basis, I'd be moving old crop corn at this point in time. If you want to take a chance, buy a call. On new crop corn, I've been doing what we call four-way spreads, basically buying 590 puts, selling two 480 puts, and selling a 630 call, getting it done for around a dime total. And it gives you lots of time to be able to see what this market really wants to do, because we don't know what the weather is. We don't know what acreage is. There are just too many questions out there, but you can't afford to go without having some type of protection.
I didn't quite finish.
He thought of something else.
No. If you've got corn to sell, you grow it to sell. Did you sell any last summer of this year's crop? I've got clients that did. Some elevators would take it, some wouldn't. But I've got guys that sell out 2 years ahead 10 to 20% of their crop when the price is right. They sold over $7 corn last year. So right now, you've still got maybe some 10 corn left. I've got some guys that do. I don't know why. I don't know why they didn't sell 750. You've still got a little last year's corn left. How much of 13 or 14 corn have you sold? If crop prices, due to some weird thing, go back over $7, book some of that too. So I've got guys that have booked 20% of this year's crop last summer before we dove into the lows for Christmas.
I know the hands raised when we had corn. How many people have more than 25% of their crop? Okay, the hands dwindle, don't they?
Yeah, I knew somebody would ask that during the day, and I'd be wrong.
And we got half a year to go, Todd. Do the math.
He's not selling. Not yet. Paul?
Well, there's no doubt about it. The old crop corn is in a world to itself. And one way, of course, is you can be long old crop, short new crop, which I think's prudent. The other factor is that new crop corn, you know, with wheat, world wheat carryover, and the potential of this corn and production agriculture and the farmers' willingness to plant a lot of corn, I am a little bearish new crop corn. And the way I'd protect it on a rally is buy 550 calls and sell $6 calls. It costs you a magic 22 cents. I wouldn't do it one-on-one, but maybe, you know, maybe a fifth of the buyback. And I think it's all said and done. There's going to be a lot of twists and turns on the highway to harvest.
You've been listening to the March 9 edition of Commodity Week, a portion of our all-day agricultural outlook panel. From the corn event, including our guest analyst on stage with us, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group from Decatur, Illinois, Paul Cooley from ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson out of Champaign, Illinois, and from Normal, Illinois, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. You have a great week. I'm Todd Gleason from U of I Extension.